Welcome into the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com for Saturday, March the 16th. We're going to take a look at the late pick four at Oaklawn Park, which includes the grade three Whitmore. Tom Leach here, along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's director of wagering development, who's in Las Vegas for the taping of this podcast and other reasons as well, right?
Yeah, I'm out here to help the NTRA run the National Horse Players Championship handicapping contest. And we're going to give one lucky horse player about $800,000 on Sunday night. So it gets started for the last chance contest on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a three-day contest. It's a lot of fun, a lot of work, though, getting it ready. And the NTRA does a great job, so I'm out here trying to help them a little bit.
If any of our listeners are participating in the contest, we wish you great luck. Jim, let's jump into this late pick four at Oaklawn with the grade three Whitmore. It's the second leg of the pick four, six furlongs, four-year-olds and up. My guess is most will view this as a two-horse race between Tejano Twist and Rivet. What say you?
I would say you're probably right. I was trying to find another horse to use, but it looks like to me that Tejano Twist is the class of the field, no doubt. But he has to get a good pace to run at. I think he's going to get that here. Rivet obviously has early speed. And then Cowan has some early speed in Jackson Traveler, the 6th and 7th. Jackson Traveler is the one that I would use as a third choice. I'm only going to go 2D. Flavian Pratt always scares me. So he came in to ride this horse, and Rosario ridden it two out of the last three times, and or three times in a row, and won two of the last three, including the Zia Sprint. But this horse is going against a lot better horses in Rivet and Tejano Twist. I would be surprised, but not shocked. I'm only going to go with two. Tejano Twist for Chris Hartman is just a class horse. Won $1.2 million with 9 wins and 29 starts. Grade 1 tested. Won this race last year with a 101 buyer. Nobody else in the field has more than a single 100 buyer, and this horse has three in his holster. And he hadn't run worse than a 94 on the entire past performance listing. So he needs a trip, but he's really good at getting a trip, and Chris Landeros fits him really well. So Rivet for Steve Asmussen came back after a little bit of a layoff and won an allowance race at Oaklawn as a tune-up for this at six furlongs, won by two lengths and ran 109.4. So Tejano Twist had beaten him pretty easily in the Ring the Bell back in December, but he moved forward off that layoff. So I think it's going to be a two-horse race with those two, Tejano Twist slightly favored over Rivet.
Well, you know, I'm always trying to find something a little creative, and I'm going to take a shot in here with Surveillance to try to upset those top two. And Surveillance has run two really good races off a long layoff. The next thing I like is that James Graham gives up a day at the fairgrounds, where I would imagine he would have several live mounts to come to Oaklawn and ride this horse for Keith DeSormo. And the horse did run well in his only start here. Wasn't that far behind Tejano Twist in this race last year. So off the layoff, horse seems to be back in his best form. And his best would give him a shot. So I'm going to try Surveillance to catch a little bit of a price here and then use Tejano Twist and Rivet with him in exactas in the race and play all three of those in the pick four. The eighth race starts the pick four. It's a state-bred allowance. Non-winners of two lifetime. Fillies. And this is interesting. They're 3 and 4 year olds, not 4 and up, or 3 and up, or 4 and up. It's 3 and 4 year olds, 6 furlongs. I took the 11, the girl in red, who ran a much improved effort in her first out this year, and the Calhoun barn has good numbers with horses making their second start off. It's kind of a layoff, so I'm going to try that horse in there. But I'm going four deep. I took Hall and Ice second from down on the inside, broke her maiden impressively. And second time out with a 72 buyer. The two-horse, Timbavati, it's Moquette and Bejarano, and she broke her maiden at Oaklawn by 9 in January of 23. And then I'm going to also take a look at the 9, Count It All, is it Count It All Day, I think, was 5th in a stake in her 24 debut with a decent buyer. So throw that one on the ticket, too, to maybe catch a little bit of a price, have a shot at a price in there. How'd you see that 8th race?
I got a couple of horses that you use. It's Count It All Joy, the 9 horse.
Count It All Joy, thank you.
Count It All Joy for Santana. That's probably my top pick in here because the horse comes back off a layoff from December, broke her maiden by a length and a half with a 59 buyer, and they put her into a stakes race right off that effort, and she didn't disgrace herself. She got beat five, but she beat four horses in it. She beat five and a half lengths, went up at 42-1. Back to the allowance level here, which is probably where she should be, but the owners are kind of proud of this one. It's the second stakes race they've tried with her, tried her as a maiden as well. But I like Cannon Doll Joy. I like three other horses in here that broke their maidens impressively last time. Hall and Ice is the one that that broke its maiden by six lengths last time. That was a 72 buyer at Oakland. No coincidences for Ron Moquette. You picked the two horse. I picked the other Ron Moquette in here. No coincidences. Had a 58 buyer first time out and then came back and broke her maiden by four and a half with a 67 buyer. So I liked her better than the other Ron Moquette. And then Appealing Addie, Randy Moore is good. Second off a layoff, second start, and the horse broke her maiden by eight. So I like those four horses, a couple different than you did. You do. I think it's a fairly wide open race, and it's one race that we thought about using as a mandatory race out here for the NHC.
All right, let's go to the race 10, third leg of the pick four, an allowance optional claimer for four-year-olds and up. Essentially, it's non-winners of two lifetime or a 62.5 claiming tag. 1 mile, which is two turns there at Oaklawn. How'd you see this one?
I thought this one was as open as any race on the card, and we did use this one as a mandatory race in the NHC. Rocket Ken is an interesting case for me. He was on the Derby trail last year. He finished fourth in the Arkansas Derby, so he's got a history here at this track, and obviously he was well thought of last year. And then after the Derby, he's been off since then. So obviously he's had some issues. Has come back with some decent work down in Florida, and they tip him up for this spot, probably hoping to get him back into stakes races later on in the card or later on in the season. But the long layoff is a huge question mark. So he's the class of the field, but I don't know that he's got any edge on these horses. The outside horse, Heroic Move, for Robertino Deodoro intrigues me as well with a 99 buyer last time out at Oaklawn in the mile and 16th. Shortening up here, so we're certainly going to be fit. Has won at a mile a couple times before, and it's 2 for 5 at Oaklawn. Past property, the two horse. Lots of early speed, and on the inside, there's not a great deal of speed in here, and I think Pat's property is probably going to inherit the lead by default and could take him a long way. Lucky Boss, the 5-horse for Contreras, one of your favorite trainers, has back-to-back 85 and 87 buyers with a win and a lifetime out in an allowance race. And then Hollow Cap for Steve Asmussen, comes out of an allowance win at a mile and an eighth and shortening up to a mile. So I'm going to go five deep in here. I didn't really have a strong opinion at all unless Rocket Can comes back to his previous form.
I ended up taking Rocket Can for the win for a couple of reasons. The owner, I believe, is based in that part of the country. So bringing this horse back there makes me think he's probably going to be ready, as does the workout pattern. And it's Bill Mott, so we can certainly get one ready off the layoff. And then Pratt on the mount for this horse. So with those factors, I ended up taking Rocket Can. I almost went to Heroic Move. I just thought the 10-hole at a 1 mile race was a tough one to overcome for this horse. And I think for his style, I think that could be a real challenge. But I think he's a major player. Lucky Boss I'm using, Contreras, is going good, and the horse is 2 for 4 at Oaklawn and has been running well of late. And then Pat's Property was the other one I used. Horse has a good post, good speed. It's a class rise, but just the setup of the race I thought could favor this horse, so I thought he was a little intriguing. Don't know if I'm going to use him on the pick four or not, but that's another one to think about in here. The 11th race is a state-bred maiden affair. Fillies and mares 3 and up at 6 furlongs. Tough way to close out a pick four. I took Queen Mallard on top. This horse gets a better post for this race, and he beat 7 of 12 horses in her debut. So she beat over half the field, gets a better draw down on the inside. The 3, My Julia, took a lot of money in her debut, and the blinkers might give her a little more speed and give her a better chance. The 9, Miss Momesa caught a next out winner in her debut. So that might have been a tough field, and this might be an easier bunch for her. So those are the three I'm going to use to finish up my pick four. How about you?
Well, I like a lot of different horses, and this is a perfect example of not putting a race in the last leg of a pick four or pick five. Queen Mallard, one of the horses that you mentioned that you like, I guess, on top, ran against two of these horses in here on February 24th, and it would be really nice to see how Hall and Ice does in the feature race before, because Hall and Ice won that race, and Hall and Ice is coming back in the allowance race that we just handicapped. So, you know, I don't know why you put a maiden special weight with only one or two races at the end. It should be at the start of the pick four. But anyway, I digress. I like Wildwood Queen here. You didn't mention Wildwood Queen. And I got a very interesting statistic for Scott Becker. Scott Becker is very cold at the meet right now, but he's a 25% trainer overall. And he is 42% maiden second start, which is incredible. So don't bet him first time out, but second time out, this horse has really got one under her belt on a sloppy track at Oakland, finished fourth, outran her odds. She was 39-1. And she finished behind a couple of other horses in here, Choose Your Mama and Running the Streets, I think. So I'm like Wildwood Queen. I like lightly raced horses, only has one lifetime start, and 42% second-time maiden is impressive for Scott Becker. I'm going to use Devilish Gal, first-time starter for McLean Robertson. He's 21% first-time starters. This Damsel Mayfly, you didn't mention. The horse comes out of Canterbury on the turf, but horses, you know, he ran third last time out. Just having, you know, a little bit of a flyer on this one. Maybe we'll take turf to dirt as a good angle. This trainer is 27% turf to dirt. Use Your Mama, I mentioned before, that comes out of that No Coincidences race and Running the Streets. And I think I'm going to leave it at those four. Tough race to finish up the pick four, however.
So what's your pick four ticket look like?
I spent $80, 1479 with 2-3, with 2-5-6-8-10, with 2-5-7-12.
I am doing a $48 ticket, 1-2-9-11 to begin, 2-3-4 in the next leg. I'm just going to go with Rocket Can and Heroic Move in that 10th race. And I'm going to add your Wildwood Queen horse in the last end of this pick four. So I'm going to make it a four-deep race for me at the end of the pick four, 1-3-9-12. So that's a really strong stat on the Becker Barn. So that's a $48 ticket for me, and hopefully catch a price in there somewhere and boost it up a little bit. But don't sense that it's going to be a huge payoff opportunity here. But if we can hit it, we'll take what we get. Jim, best of luck with your ticket on Saturday and with the contest out there, and we'll be back next week for a big weekend of some Derby preps.
Looking forward to this weekend, and we don't have any Derby preps coming up this weekend. It's a kind of an odd weekend, but we start for sure next week, and then the week after you're looking at the Jeff Ruby Stakes, and you're looking at the Florida Derby, and you're looking at Dubai World Cup. Lots of great racing from here on out. And it's not that long until I really have to go back to work, and Keeneland opens in less than a month.
Keeneland, if we could get this weather that we have this week in Kentucky for Keeneland's opening weekend, would be fantastic. Jim, best of luck, and we'll talk next week on the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com.